This is the Day Zero update for January 14th, 2018. I am Philippe Bourgeonfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Rip Victoria.
And the CES has come and gone. We've had some very interesting things show up there. Yeah, we were talking about Retrobit the other week. Yep, they showed some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We will be talking a lot about that later and what it potentially means. So, yeah, stay tuned to that, because that's going to be an interesting discussion. Among other things, what else do we see? Just some Destiny news, a bunch of other crap here and there. We'll get to all of that. Before we do that, though, we should probably check in with what we've been up to and playing this week. And for me, not a whole lot, thanks to life. So, that's been kind of rough, but, you know, I'll get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And be playing games soon again. So that'll be fun. So nothing to report on the gaming front for me at the moment. Next week, we'll see. How about you, Pat?
Just mainly random Street Fighter in between stretches of website work. The project that we mentioned on Let's Weekend continues, and it'll actually be playing into one of our news bits here early in the show, but mainly I've just been focused on getting the rest of said website geared up for its potential launch here in the spring. So that's been fun.
All right. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, mostly Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and Neo. That's pretty much been Xenoblade getting towards midway of the game. It's a lot of fun. I've said before, I really enjoy it. It does have these odd sort of outliers here and there, mostly having to do with lip sync and some odd choices as far as voice acting is concerned, but everything else is just fine. And of course, I've talked about Neo before. Still a lot of fun, still driven me to almost break my controller in half more than once, but it's good. Finally met up with Hattori Hanzo. Again, an actual historical figure that a lot of characters in this game are actual historical figures of. That's been my...
Keep in mind that is a game coming from the Koei side of Tecmo Koei.
Yeah.
Even though Team Ninja took over development.
Yep. So that's pretty much been me. What about you, Chris?
So I've been playing more Assassin's Creed Origins. Finally got to Alexandria and met up with my ex-wife, Aya, and did a few of the missions surrounding that. And mostly I've been lately just wandering around the countryside, taking on random quests and killing hippos and, I guess, crocodiles in that area. And sort of just getting lots of the sort of crafting materials to upgrade the different parts of Bayek's arsenal. So that's been going pretty well. And sort of part of the having the Xbox Game Pass, I played some NBA Playgrounds, which is definitely like NBA Jam, though not as good. It just controls pretty weird in comparison. There are actual shot meters. As you try to hit the middle of it for the best chance at nailing a shot or a dunk or whatever. And that's kind of a weird thing, that you don't just go for the dunk or the shot, and it just decides based on whatever stats on its own that whether you make it or not. Just been doing some of the tournaments they have in there, which is just like four matches, I think, in each of them. I'm still in the first one, but yeah, it's pretty good, but definitely does not live up to the NBA Jam standard that it's going for, which we have the rumor going around of potentially another NBA Jam coming out of EA as a celebration of the 25th anniversary. So that could be happening this year.
Yeah. But knowing EA, they'll probably put like 4 billion loot boxes in it and ruin it anyway. So,
The original, the NBA Jam on Fire edition, I think, kind of had that a bit. There was a lot of like challenge stuff. Like you had to play a lot of it to upgrade, upgrade various things. So
yeah, but it wasn't random.
Mm. Yeah. Also been playing Skylar and Plux, which is the sort of indie platformer I mentioned a while back. Played through one of the big areas in it, and it's still pretty good for what, for the price that I paid for, which is like $4 or $5, and it being kind of an indie 3D platformer where those sometimes aren't guaranteed to be any good compared to like the big stuff like your Mario's, Crash Bandicoots, that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's playing really well, and that helps it out a lot. So I look forward to playing some more of that. And I also am playing some Mystic Bell, which is a game that WayForward publishes. They did not make it, but it is kind of Castlevania, but you're a spellcaster. A mage or a witch, I forget what they call it. But she can cast spells, essentially. That's just her main attack. And you're kind of going around to, like, somehow a specific potion gets, that was being brewed, gets messed up, and your character gets blamed for it, and you're supposed to go collect the three main ingredients to make a new batch. And so you have all the stuff you expect where the enemies come off screen constantly, never ending, and you're kind of trying to take them out, all that sort of stuff. But the main crux of progression is actually kind of a adventure-y puzzle solving. You're going around collecting these items. You come up with other items that's like, oh, I know I need to use this, but I need to use another item on this to get the thing off of it I need. Like I found a mop that I need to get the mop head off of it to give to this other student who does not have hair and wants something, some sort of hair. So I need to figure out the item I need to kind of cut that off, which I thought it was these nail clippers. But I was looking at a guide, which was just a list of the items and where you get them or where you use them. And tells me that these nail clippers are a red herring. They're just nothing. But I picked them up somehow. So it's a lot of this puzzle solving, like figuring out, okay, I need to do this thing. What item do I need to get it to do the thing I want? And then what do I do with that item once I get it? That sort of stuff. And once you use an item, it disappears. So there's no like multi-use item or anything like that. But it's a pretty cool sort of spin on that type of game where it's not about the combat at all. Even though it has like an RPG like leveling system to it, it just seems like that's more to make the combat easier as you do more of it. So it becomes less of an obstacle. But yeah, it's pretty neat for what it is, and I'm looking forward to playing some more of that as well. I also traded my Xbox One finally to GameStop. They're doing a deal for an extra $50, so I got $100 for it. And they would not take the Kinect, so
God damn it.
Burn it.
So yeah, that was nice to at least get the Xbox sold and use that for some credit. PSN, Xbox Live, and eShop credit, so
did I do that?
Yeah, that's it was also kind of
I'm just picturing them going, you know, we're going to have to ask you to take that thing out of our premises.
It was
in fact, you're not allowed to bring it within 100 yards of the store.
Yeah, the guy that used the excuse that it's been discontinued, which doesn't matter to them. Yeah. I guess more that they have more than they're
ever gonna
expecting
be able
to sell. There's more coming in than there are going out. Essentially, so they're not taking it, so I've got a bag over here. Not sure what I'm going to do with it because I need the adapter to work on the X, and that thing's ridiculously expensive now it's discontinued.
Yeah.
I think it'll hold like 4 amiibo. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also good use of this bag. Yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Dan Rip?
For me, not much. I've primarily just been playing the betas for games that I'm assuming Pat will be reviewing. I'm playing the Dissidia beta. And the last time I played a Dissidia was Dissidia 2. I think that was on PSP or Vita.
Mm.
So they play quite differently.
Yes.
I don't remember Dissidia being this clunky. I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like the controls are a bit clunky. But I'll tell you what, this game looks good. It looks fantastic.
It's going to stream really well. It's going to look real good at tournaments.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I have a minor complaint about, like, the since the game's soundtrack is so varied, it doesn't really do a good job of, like, switching to another song. They often feel abrupt. But I don't know whether that's just something with the beta or whether it's something that'll be an issue or not with the real game. But I don't know. I just find it kind of annoying.
The soundtracks are out there if you want to listen to them.
No, I mean, like, the soundtrack itself is great, but the transitions from one song to another aren't as great. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's fun. It's not something I'd spend $60 for, but it's definitely enjoyable, and I can see why people are looking forward to it. Now, moving on to Dragon Ball FighterZ. the controls here are not clunky at all. You press something, and then they'll probably do a move, like, right before it. And whatever button combination you want to use, they'll definitely do something, and it's weird. When I was at E3, I went back to play this game like 4 times because you were only allowed like 1 match before you had to go back in line if you wanted to do another one. And like now that I have more time with it, I'm just getting used to the button layout, but it's kind of scary sometimes because like you'll press a button and all of a sudden you're already performing a combo, and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do this yet. I wanted to like experiment. But yeah,
it's very much an Arc System Works game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's very Arc System Works, and I'm loving it. It looks great. It's kind of awkward seeing Nappa beat the shit out of Beerus, but you know, it comes with the territory.
Yeah, balance comes before canon. And honestly, I think Nappa is going to be a destroyer in this game.
Oh yeah,
I think he's really good.
Looks like, but yeah, really enjoying this game. This is going to be a day one purchase for me.
Oh, yeah.
Probably play around with those of you that get it. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Maybe we can do a Smash Pad lobby / stream.
Yeah, sounds good. We can all get good somehow. But, yeah, there's a whole bunch of games on my backlog, and that's not a good thing because I'm getting ready for Lost Sphere next week. And at the same time,
it looks like they're going to stay on the backlog for a while.
Oh, yeah, totally. I've been meaning to give Wolfenstein 2 and Assassin's Creed Origins a try, but here I am looking at the PSN sale wondering if I should get Flint Hook in Thimbleweed Park, so I don't know. Question though, do any of you guys play Overcooked?
Not me.
Chris?
No.
Okay, the reason why I ask is because there's 3 versions of the game on PSN and I don't know which one to get, so yeah. Alright, that's all I got.
Alright.
I have a theory about Dragon Ball FighterZ that one of the winning strategies online is going to be picking a team of Krillin, Yamcha, and Tien and just making people rage quit.
Fuck you, Saiyans.
Yeah, the weird thing about that game is that's not how you pronounce the title. It's Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never going to call it Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Especially with a Z like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they knew exactly what they were doing.
We gotta make it Japanese.
Yeah.
You're going to cause arguments with the title alone.
Yep. And that's before you even started playing matches. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, going into rank with Team Scrub and dominating, that's just... I will bathe in the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so this week we got Street Fighter V Arcade Edition coming out.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah, I've been looking forward to that. Yeah, I'll actually be able to play this one because it's just basically an update. So, yeah, that's going to download.
You're going to get all the DLC characters up to this point.
If you buy it at retail, you do, yes.
Yeah, which is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Only $40.
Retail, you also get a bunch of premium costumes for free, so that's cool. Those are the ones you can't buy with fight money.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll also get the arcade mode, finally.
What an arcade mode it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's got multi-branching stories. It has over 200 endings. And all bunch of storylines specific to various eras in Street Fighter history. And I'm guessing, other than that, there's some other stuff too, isn't there? I know there's new V triggers for everyone.
Yep. You select them before the match, kind of like you did with your supers in Third Strike and Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Yep. And I want to think there's another mode too that they've added.
Extra battle.
Yes. And I don't know. Are they going to have like the cinematic mode that they had in there too, or is that just go?
No,
it'll carry over.
Yeah. All right.
I think they're going to be probably adding a second story, like a second cinematic story, sometime during Street Fighter V Arcade Edition. But there's no telling when. Yeah. They just build enough on the Street Fighter V continuity over the last couple of years that we're going to be due for one pretty soon.
Okay.
Unless they're going to do it all through the arcade mode, which they very well could.
Yeah.
All right.
So. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So that's out this week. If you have Street Fighter V, you downloaded it digitally or, well, haven't. If you have the original disc, it might be worth the upgrade to pick up the retail for that one. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, also, new copies of Street Fighter V ship with the Arcade Edition update on it.
Just don't update.
Yeah, don't do that. So, yeah.
But there's no way of telling whether you're getting a vanilla Street Fighter V disc or an Arcade Edition disc, so tread lightly if you decide to take that route. All we know is that one guy on SRK or Reddit or something did get a hold of an Arcade Edition disc out of a Street Fighter V box.
Yeah.
And has been like checking random tech for people.
Yeah. So. But I think that's probably what's going to happen in the future anyway. I'm kind of surprised that they're even still going to be selling the vanilla Street Fighter V at this point.
I think I saw a picture that somebody took at a Walmart where they were clearancing them out for $5.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I guess for $5 that's not so bad, but. Still,
it gets your foot in the door.
Yeah, it gets your foot in the door. You'll still get the you'll still be able to get the update, and that gives you all the arcade mode. But you'll have to BYOC, as it were. So,
and
bring your own DLC. So,
and your own content.
And also remember, we've got a new season of DLC of new characters coming too. So, yeah.
Starting on the
16th, launching with Sakura. She's going to be free for the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, yeah, she'll be able to get a good idea of what she's going to be like.
Mm-hmm. And she's all grown up, too.
Yeah.
She's not fans a school girl anymore. For a long time.
Yeah. So that's Street Fighter V Arcade Edition. Looking forward to it, and we'll probably be talking at length about it next week when we reconvene. So moving on to our quick stories of the day. We got a couple of controller stories. I'm going to lump these together because they're kind of related. Hori, we know and love them because they make good stuff.
Yes.
Well, they're making what they're calling the Onyx wireless controller for the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Xbox One controller.
Let's see what they did there.
Yeah, so...
It's actually the Duke.
That's another story.
Oh.
Yeah. This one, this Hori one is very much based on the Xbox One.
Ah.
If you're... PS4 owner who really doesn't like the DualShock and you'd rather have asynchronous analog sticks, asymmetrical rather. You can get this, and it looks like it would be pretty good. It's wireless. So, makes me wonder if they're going to do the opposite, do an Xbox One controller that looks like a DualShock. I wouldn't put it past them, so, if you'll be able to play your games any way you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do that with an Elite? Can you move the stick and the D-pad around?
With the Elite? Yeah, if you had that.
Only $150.
Yeah. So. The other news is, as Brandon mentioned, the Duke is coming back from Hyperkin. It's going to be in March, officially licensed. And, Yeah.
It's $70.
$70 big ass controller.
Hmm. It's got an OLED.
Something looks a little wrong with it.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a drunk, like it was designed by a drunkard, but okay.
Yeah, they need to switch the left and right analog sticks because that's not how they were on the original.
Yeah.
Nope.
So your mileage may vary on that one.
It had a really good D-pad, but I remember the button layout being less than ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, four of the six face buttons were actually good. Mm-hmm. The black and white ones were in the right position, but were too damn small to be useful for anything. So.
Yeah, so now you got to rethink how you're playing your games, because I assume those are the bumpers.
Yep.
It's like, oh, wait, left bumper is white, right bumper is black, okay.
Yeah. Mm. And you're losing the reflex triggers on this, so yeah. I think this is more going to be for those folks who are really into the Xbox original backwards compatibility. So
yeah,
that's probably
what, and that'll be good for them.
Yeah.
The one cool thing is the jewel in the middle is an OLED screen.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's $70.
Yeah.
Because it plays like the Xbox intro.
On the controller.
Cinematic on the Flash controller.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, we kind of have to touch on this a little bit, because Destiny 2 has been in the news for the past few months with their ever-increasing push towards the Eververse. So Bungie has announced that they're going to be scaling things back a little bit there. I'm not sure if this news makes you happy at all, Chris, but...
I don't know. I don't touch the Eververse, except when you do certain quests that give you, like, a free... the loot crates.
Mm-hmm.
I think every time you level up as well, you get what they call the Bright chest or whatever it's called. Yeah,
the Bright Ingram.
Yeah, and that is, like, the only time I ever go over to her side of the tower. But, yeah, they're also doing a bunch of stuff for this upcoming update. And over the next few months, adding some more stuff for the end game, changing some things with the strikes. I think they're adding 6v6 multiplayer.
Yeah.
As another option. Expanding some of the equipment stuff for emotes and extra vault space and all that. Bunch of stuff. Basically trying to do as much as they can to improve things for the people that want to keep playing the game.
Yeah, and that's one of their major problems right now, is because they've lost 75% of their player base since launch.
Yep.
How the fuck do you do that?
Destiny's like that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People kind of finished most of the content that was there and waited for the next expansion or whatever.
75%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with Destiny 1, though, they didn't have their entire forum base revolting. So, they have... I'm glad that they're trying to address it, that they're, you know, doing... Seems like they're making the right kind of moves. Whether they'll actually be able to follow through with it and, well, can attract those other players back is something that remains to be seen. So, we'll keep our eyes on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on from there, Shoryuken announced that they were going to be closing down their forums, and then they didn't.
Yeah, it was understandable the way Tom Cannon described it, because apparently Shoryuken has been going $2,000 a month into the hole because of the forums, which to me just speaks of a bad deal that they got probably a long time ago. Then there was this huge outreach from fans on Facebook and people talking about ways that they could make it all work. And so a day later, Tom Cannon went back on Twitter and said, "This outreach has been tremendous. We didn't realize how important the forums still were to you. So we're just going to move them over to Discourse over time and add a Patreon feature, which should work out really well for them. So I'm happy to see that, because the Shoryuken forums are a very important and longstanding institution to a community that has already lost too many longstanding important institutions.
Hmm.
So I'm happy to see that they're finding a way to keep them up and running. Meanwhile, the MISQ prompt a bunch of well-meaning schmucks to tip their hand early.
Yeah.
So, yeah. WorldWarriors.net is a thing. It is the project that Phil and I have been working on over the last several weeks. And while it is by no means ready to launch with its full site, the forums are up and running. And it is, in the long run, expected to be a good, solid home online for old school Street Fighter. Right now, all of our specific game boards are geared toward main series Street Fighter installments that are still being played to some degree or another to this day. And if anyone wants to use those as sort of a launch pad to help those games grow, especially in the case of older titles like Hyper Fighting or Alpha 2, you know, that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
So we are slowly staffing up and opening up more forums as we feel more equipped to maintain them. So hopefully, if you love old school Street Fighter or even current Street Fighter, because we're not leaving Ultra 4 or Arcade Edition out of the picture by any means. I think we have to connect the past to the present in order to really build more of a concise legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely going to be a thing. And just get excited for the site proper, because we've got a lot of really interesting ideas in the works that I think no other site in the fighting game community is doing. And so stay tuned and be excited if you love fighting games, because we're putting our hearts and souls into this, and it should be a really good resource as we get closer toward the spring launch.
Yep. So check us out. The forums are up. Sign up and get posting.
So, yeah. We already got a few people there, so.
Yep.
It's starting to grow. So, another news. Square Enix is teasing the contents of Dissidious Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, we've already got kind of a prediction of who those individuals are going to be.
Yeah, well, they're probably going to be some of the stalwarts that we kind of expect. I mean,
yeah,
Auron will probably show up. You know.
Yeah, they gave hints as to each character.
Mm.
Let me pull it up here, and so I can. So three of them are described as a male character debuting in Dissidia from the newer half of the numbered titles.
Mm.
Apart from those three, you have one female character debuting in Dissidia from the newer half of numbered titles. One male character debuting from the newer half of numbered Final Fantasy titles. Oh, wait, from the older half of numbered Final Fantasy titles.
Hmm.
And one female character who is a returning Dissidia character from the newer half of numbered Final Fantasy titles.
Hmm. Mm.
So I've got my picks. I'm going to say Auron, Vincent, Fang, Thancred, Yuna, and Gladiolus.
Yep.
That seems like a pretty solid prediction to me.
Well, Yuna was the easy one to pick, because there's only one other character that it could have been. Do you know who it is? Anyone want to take a crack? A female character returning to Dissidia from the PSP games from the newer half of the series.
Oh. From the newer half. So that would be... Okay, so we're talking about... From Final Fantasy IX onward. Let's see. Has Fran been featured yet?
Nope.
No? Okay. Let me think. Let's see. 9, 11. Tifa?
This is obscure. No, Tifa's from the older half.
Yeah, yeah. Tifa's from 7, so.
I think she was confirmed anyway.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
No?
Well, she's definitely going to come, confirmation or not, because probably she is one of the most. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Let's see. From 9 on. Is it one of the characters from 9?
Nope.
No?
Well, 10? You'll have to tell us, because...
It's Kreesh from Final Fantasy XI.
Right. Of course. Yep.
So if they...
One of the games I didn't play.
If they go that route rather than Yuna for their season pass, they fail marketing forever.
Yeah.
So, the only case for Priish over Yuna in the season pass is because that would put, if you include Auron, then that puts us at 4 Final Fantasy X characters. So, Auron is another one that if they leave him out, you fail marketing forever.
Yeah.
So,
I need him in there at some point.
And I think Thancred will make a really good character, too, just putting that out there. It also makes it really easy to predict Season 2, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm getting excited for this. It looks like the Season Pass is going to come in at $40, but it'll be worth it. And I expect we'll get more information about it as we lead up to the launch at the end of the month.
Yeah. All right, so speaking of DLC, BlazBlue
Party Foul.
Yeah, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle has announced Blake Belladonna is going to be DLC.
And they Ruby.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also kind of announced that half of the roster is DLC at the same time.
Oh, Jim Sterling was not happy.
Yeah, this means that there's going to be a 40-character roster with 20 of them being DLC. They also announced that they will be sold as 2 standalone characters and 6 3-packs, or there will be one overarching all-in-one pack, but they haven't announced prices for any of them, and I'm hoping they're paying attention to the response right now.
Yeah, because I think
this game doesn't come out until summer either. It's got it's going to be end of May in Japan and June 5th in North America. This is going to be on disc DLC.
Well, yeah.
So just
5 months for people to bitch about it.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is not how you market.
No,
no, you just don't do that. Especially if you announce the 40 character roster from the start. And then say, "Oh yeah, half of those. Yeah, you're gonna have to buy those because you only get 20 of those when you buy the game. The rest you'll have to pay for. Probably the same price as the game itself.
And I'm sure they won't sell colors or anything like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, it's only Arc System Works. They've only integrated that into their business model.
Yeah. Mm. So, God. Well, compared to loot boxes, this is slightly less scummy, but
The only way they can soften the blow on this is if the all-in-one pack has a really good price.
Yeah, well,
I don't think they can go a penny north of $40 on it, and I would recommend they go down to $30 on it.
No, I'd recommend they go down to $20 if they really wanted it, or they just suck it up and just put them all out day one, because I'm pretty sure in 6 months they'll probably have them already. So, yeah. Anyways.
Do you think they'll just have, like, a special edition you can get that includes all those characters, like a $70 edition? Mm-hmm. Something like that? $70, $80?
It would probably go closer to
$80. Yeah. They'll probably end up doing that. And I think at this point they'll have to.
Keep in mind, this is also Arc System Works, so they could be selling the game at $40.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there, too, and to be fair.
Yeah. Mm. We'll see what the game comes out for, but I think it will be a $60, but we'll see.
If it's a $40 base game and a $40 character pack, I think they're within their rights, even though it's not a good look.
Yeah.
Just having that much DLC at launch.
Yeah. well, technically not even at launch. It's just, it's going to be metered out. So, yeah.
Yeah, well. Well, it looks like it's going to be all done. It's not DLC because it's not going to be ready. It's going to be DLC because it's part of their business model.
Yeah. It's just a very weird thing for them to be doing, especially now.
What the hell, Maury?
Yeah. So.
Okay. And now we've also got a producer. I'm not sure whether he's on the Atlas side or the Arc System Works side, but he says that any sequel to the Persona 4 Arena series hinges on the success of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle.
I hate when they do that. I really hate when they do that. It's like, yeah, you want this game? Well, buy this other game. Otherwise, you're not going to get that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like blackmail sort of thing. Skeezy. But anyways. We do have some actual good stuff to talk about this week, though. So it's not just crap and weird stuff. We had a Nintendo Direct Mini that kind of just showed up.
yep.
Oh, man.
Mini might be an understatement. So, yeah, just walk us through this, Dad Rev, since you haven't been...
Okay, so what happened here was a lot of conjecture started a few months ago when EA sent somebody the wrong email. And in that email, there was some release information, as well as a little announcement that Nintendo would be having a Nintendo Direct on the 11th. And that spurred on to have all sorts of discussions everywhere, including, Reddit and things like that. There was even a 500-pager saying that, this could be an E3-leveled Nintendo Direct.
Mm.
And those of us who are in the industry, we already know that Nintendo, they actually do announce when they have a Direct, and it's normally without much time afforded. So it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for Nintendo to announce it 2 days before, maybe even a day before. This time, they didn't announce it at all. If you look on their Twitter page, they tweeted a picture of the parrot who hides things in Super Mario Odyssey, and then they posted a picture of Chibi Robo on fire, and that led to all sorts of crazy rumors that, yeah, this would be an insane Direct. And the Direct was a good Direct. It wasn't an E3-level Direct, and they ended up posting it at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. in the East Coast. And yeah, a lot of good stuff there, but not exactly the hyped up things that the Nintendo fanboys were all going crazy about. But yeah, it was typical Nintendo being Nintendo, and the fact that they actually went on social media to troll people to me was hilarious. I'm sure people think that they shouldn't have done it the way they did. I thought it was awesome.
People make it easy for themselves to get trolled.
Yeah.
It's like Nintendo just didn't calm down on the
people trolled themselves.
Yeah, calm down on the expectations, people.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we had some announcements from there, though. Let's see. World Ends With You, Final Remix.
If they can find a way to make that gameplay docked, I'm in.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's coming 2018.
Yeah, so they have the World Ends With You, Final Mix. They're bringing back Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, which was fantastic, and not enough people played it on the Wii U. They even have an easier mode with Funky Kong on there, so yeah. It's a bit more varied. They also have Kirby Star Allies, and what's interesting was I believe that was the only game they talked about that we already knew about. One of the things that I guess I was particularly annoyed with this Direct was the fact that they didn't really talk much about the games we already knew about. So Yoshi, we still don't know when it's coming out. We still have no idea when Octopath Traveler is coming out, nor do we have a name for it. So, there's some interesting announcements. It's just hard to tell when we'll eventually get more.
But it's all pertaining to the first half of 2018, which I think we need more of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And we got there's some DLC, so it looked like a mix of smaller titles as well as updates to titles that are already out.
Yeah, like Falcon tournaments, getting some new characters and such.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the season pass now. That stuff comes out over the next 2 months. Some at the end of January, some near the end of March. I don't know how well that's going to go over for those people, because it seems like a game that nobody's really talking about very much. But Kirby Star Allies is out on March 16th. You get a demo out now on the Switch. Dragon Quest Builders also has a demo out now. So some free stuff for you to play for now. Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, which includes all the DLC from the previous two versions, as well as some new Breath of the Wild outfits. That is out sometime this spring, which that seems like the ultimate version.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to actually run well on like the 3DS version.
The Wii U evacuation project continues.
Yeah, they announced Mario Tennis Aces, which is going to have a story mode, not an RPG mode. So
that one has my attention. The Mario sports games haven't had an alternative mode since Mario Tennis on the, I think it was the Game Boy Advance. I believe I'm not sure. I think that game was developed by Camelot, also known for the Golden Sun and Shining Force games, and they were really good for what they were. So I'm hoping Mario Tennis Aces ends up being a really fun one. I had a lot of fun with Everybody's Golf, and I was kind of hoping they'd do a Mario Golf first, but hey, tennis ain't so bad either. So
yeah.
So they also announced Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Donna. That's the first time I ever heard that pronounced that way.
Be excited, Nintendo fans.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is the first time the Ease series has been on a Nintendo platform, well, a Nintendo console at least, since the Super NES.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be.
I just remembered that Ease 1 and 2 pack that they got on the DS, but
yeah,
I don't think I heard much good about that version.
Yeah.
They also got an update coming out in February for Super Mario Odyssey, which adds Balloon World online mode, which has Luigi in it. Seemed like a weird little challenge thing. They're gonna add some more outfits and some other stuff like that. More of the filters for the photo mode as well. Some actually look good on like the Super Nintendo and N64 and GameCube filters that are on there that just makes it look like shit. Then they announced SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy. It's out in the summer. That looks like a 3-on-3 sort of party mode fighter kind of thing. You guys have any opinions on that?
It's SNK, so I have to give them the benefit of the doubt on it. But
yeah,
it's a spiritual sequel to Gal's Fighters on the Neo Geo Pocket, which I would never have guessed would be their next big project after King of Fighters 14.
No. But it does, in a way, it makes sense. Yeah, it's also going to the PS4, so. If they do a demo, I'll have to check it out. I'm not sure this is one that I'd want to plunk down $60 to buy, though. So.
Yeah, it seems like it has
wonder if we're going to see Miss X make an appearance.
Yeah.
That was the end boss of Gal's Fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they got a lot of customization in this game.
But it was hilarious.
Seems like they got a lot of customizations. They say 100 different accessories for the characters, as well as voice clips you can buy with your winnings. Let's see, what else is here? There's Arcade Archives Neo Geo Art of Fighting 2 was out the day that this came out. So some more talk about the Arcade Archives stuff they got on there. Which they just had Super Mario Brothers, the arcade version of that, which is pretty interesting. That's been near the top of the sales charts since that's come out. So people are wanting those classic games.
Yep.
As it should. That game's great.
Yeah.
And they're selling them for reasonable prices, so it's...
Yeah.
This is Art of Fighting 2. Yeah, I've never played this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's out.
One of the better. It's a good fighting game to get drunk to.
Yeah. I actually, from what I've heard, it's actually superior to its predecessor.
Yeah, but that was a low bar to climb.
Which was also one of the great getting drunk fighting games of all time.
Yeah. Isn't this the one where the final boss is Geese Howard?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Not just any Geese Howard, but like a young Geese Howard.
I can't remember his age at the time, but yeah, it was Geese at that. So.
Yeah, so Mario and Rabbids, Kingdom Battle's getting new Donkey Kong DLC, so you can play as him, and you get some story stuff to do with that. That's out in the spring.
Mm.
They got Payday 2 coming out on February 27th, which will include a new character that is exclusive for a limited time, which is a Japanese hacker girl that has like a mask that has like LCDs on it.
Of course.
Okay.
And they got Fae. It's coming out February 16th. That's the EA indie game. We got to see a bit of it in the trailer on this direct, so that looks pretty good. That's out on Xbox and PS4 as well.
Yeah.
Celeste of
Trine or Ori and the Blind Forest in 3D. It looks like something.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah. And Celeste is also coming out on January 25th. That is week after next. And that is from the Towerfall team.
Yeah.
That is their next game, which is more of a straightforward platformer. That is on everything, I believe, as well. So that's going to be pretty cool to see.
Yep.
We talked about Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. It's on May 4th. And then the big grand finale was Dark Souls Remastered on May 25th, which is also coming to PS4, Steam, and Xbox One. It's getting the 4K, 60 frame per second stuff on PS4 and Xbox One Pro and X. Steam, I assume this will be like the make good for the original version on Steam. That was not a great version for what people expected out of a PC version of that game.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember games for Windows Live? Yeah, that was great.
And people had to put in like 1080p support Durante thing, as well as having like 60 frames per second, all that into there. So yeah, that's their second chance to, I hope that's just an update for the original version.
Yeah, see, they'll probably charge you for it.
Hey, we fucked it up 10 years ago. Here's another $40 we need out of you.
Yeah. It'll sell. People will still buy it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this does on the Switch as well, because it's, I think in handheld mode, it's 720p, 30 frames per second.
Yeah.
So it's going to definitely be the worst version of this on the current crop of consoles.
Yep. That's just something that Switch owners are going to have to get used to.
It'll probably be better than the original versions on PS3 and Xbox 360, but
A lot of good stuff coming to the Switch. We needed reassurance that Nintendo was going to make a commitment to content over the year. I think this is a pretty good sign of where they're going.
I just think it's funny that they're taking one of the most controller-throwing, inspiring games and sticking it on one of the most throwable systems ever.
Well, it gives them another revenue stream. So
yeah, the hardware failure rate is going to be atrocious.
Yeah. I fully expect to see YouTube videos of Nintendo Switches flying out windows.
Or getting broken in half over someone's knee.
Yeah.
That's totally going to happen.
You people think we're kidding.
No.
That game will beat you. Like, it will kick you in the nuts, bend you over a table, and run train on you. It is unbelievably difficult.
But the thing about Dark Souls that people don't understand, though, is if you get into that kind of a situation where you have no way out of it, chances are it's because you done fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's sort of a game that you don't just run headfirst into every area.
Yeah.
You need to take your time, survey your surroundings, and look for points where they're going to just fuck you right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then just
You shouldn't run. You should just tumble and roll your way through. So,
yeah.
It is one of those games you have to sort of. It's pretty much like its predecessor, in that you kind of have to unlearn a lot of what you've had to do with games up to that point.
Yeah, It's a game where you know, preparedness is, you know, it's paramount. That's you need to know what you're getting into. And even then, sometimes the game will just fuck with you.
A lot of our industry friends only play their Switch on the airplane. So if they play Dark Souls, good luck to everybody on the plane.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting plane ride.
Somebody better alert the air marshals.
But yeah, it all goes back to their strategy of, just keep buying Joy-Cons and, feed the beast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean...
Joy-Cons aren't going to do you any good if your system is in five pieces 2 miles away.
That's why they include two per set. But yeah, for a mini direct, they made like, 16 announcements in 14 minutes? If this is a mini direct, I really want to see what a regular direct is like. This is insanity.
Yeah, I think this is something that they threw together because they kind of their hand got tipped. So, yeah, we'll see what an actual scheduled direct that they want to do is going to be like. And usually, they kind of do these every 2 months, so we're probably not going to hear anything more from them until March at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, they even announced the Pikachu game the day after, so. I don't know like what the thought process is when they make these, but yeah, they're solid. And Nintendo's strategy of having one or two solid releases per month is clearly working. So why not keep it up, right? They have the library.
Yep, they're making the most of it. So finally, our last story of the day is CES related, and it's Retrobit is making good use of that official Sega license.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't show any systems at CES, but they showed the accessories, and they are many.
Yeah. They have a complete line of Genesis products. Mm. You've got six-button pads in USB, in
Bluetooth,
Bluetooth in regular old Sega Genesis 9-pin format as well, if that's the way you want to rock.
Yep.
You got that. You got AC adapters.
Saturn Bluetooth controllers.
Yeah,
that will work on your Saturn.
Yeah, because it comes with a Bluetooth adapter. You can plug in the controller port.
So
that's a nice thing. Same thing goes for the Dreamcast controllers that they're doing. Doing those in various colors as well. So you can get your black Dreamcast controller minus Sega Sports branding, which I think is a good thing. I've always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
Not that I have a Dreamcast anymore, but still kind of cool. What else have they announced? Oh, yeah. Well, AC adapters I mentioned. This will hopefully not set your house on fire, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear. These consoles are old. Power supplies that come with them can fail, and occasionally can fail in very, very dangerous ways.
Spectacular ways.
Yeah. So having the ability to buy a modern replacement that with hopefully proper build quality is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not having to worry about like Chinese clone stuff.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
So there's that. Various AV cables. They had just regular composite and, of course, S-Video for the Genesis, which I don't think was actually even a thing before.
Hmm.
So that's interesting in and of itself.
I think it was a thing. I think it was just very hard to come by.
Yeah. It's like, the kind of cable that they're doing their stereo out with S-Video,
mm-hmm.
I think was very difficult to do back in the day. You could do it on the Model 1, but you needed, to do out from the headphone jack, and then you needed your RGB cable. So having something like that all in one, good stuff. So. But we didn't see any systems, as Pat said. Speculation is still rampant as to what they might actually do there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dreamcast controllers aren't for the original stuff?
Oh, all this hardware will work on your original Dreamcast.
Yep.
Okay, wireless. Okay, that's good.
Genesis. Mm-hmm. But the original news bit said that they were going to be re-releasing the systems, too.
Yeah. Those they haven't kind of revealed yet.
They haven't tipped their hand on yet.
Yeah. Mm. But
I think the biggest problem with, like,
but these USB controllers definitely have me interested in turning on my old Steam games again. So this is good.
Yeah.
Bluetooth.
I'm definitely getting my hands on some of those Saturn pads.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I do like that gray one.
The Genesis arcade pad, giving me some memories.
Yeah, me too.
Ooh. Hyper Fighting.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, so it was Special Champion Edition, but I guess technically.
Now, this is a Bluetooth controller. It'll work on the Switch, won't it?
Technically, yes.
So then you could play Hyper Fighting off of the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection with it for old time's sake?
Probably could.
There you go, Danrib.
Fuck it, play Sonic Mania with it.
Yeah?
The only thing I'm seeing that's missing is VMUs.
They're not pictured, but they're coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I might just buy like one or two of the Bluetooth adapters for the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
So did they announce price points?
Cables.
They did not.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I want everything on this. Oh my god.
Yeah, they typically don't announce like dates or prices at CES.
Yeah, because that's never gonna happen.
Hey, look at our shiny stuff.
Yeah.
Price? No. Shiny.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to get in touch with Retrobit, Dan Reb, if you can find somebody in their PR department. Because
hell yeah.
I suspect lots of us here are very interested in seeing what they've got.
Oh, I like their boxes here that are smashed up.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that happened, but okay.
I'm sure it happened like everybody else's boxes get smashed up.
Yeah.
I love that they're using the original packaging style.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, with the original Seal of Quality logo, which is great. And the best part about this is At Games was nowhere in sight, so yay! hopefully these systems that they decide to actually release will be actual hardware clones and not emulations. That might make them a little bit more expensive because spinning up production runs of some of these chips is going to be really
intriguing.
But it can be done.
I'll support it.
Yeah.
The weird thing about this VGA box for the Dreamcast now is like, does my monitor have a VGA port on it now?
Nope. But you could
adapters get that
VGA box and then adapt it to HDMI.
You need an adapter for the adapter.
Yeah.
I thought I saw an HDMI output.
Go down to that
bottom picture.
Huh.
That looks like an HDMI.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that got misreported.
Yeah. That actually would be a very nice solution if that's the case. VGA box straight to HDMI and go into your modern television and get nice resolution out of that. That's a nice thing to have.
Listen to 20-year-old Offspring songs.
Which are still outstanding, I will say.
Yeah, Bad Religion. Forget that. Yeah.
I was listening to them at work just the other day.
Yeah.
That's why I like the PSP version of the Crazy Taxi, the original Crazy Taxis, because you could put all of them on there.
Yep.
Just have your own, just all Offspring and Bad Religion soundtrack.
Yeah.
That with like two or three songs each.
Yeah. Anyways. So let's get on to our picks of the week, finally. My pick for this week is from CES. It's a ping pong playing robot that will help you learn how to play ping pong.
Hmm.
Yep. It's uses computer vision to hit the ball back at you and hopefully help you keep a volley going. It's all about developing your technique.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done it adversarial to do like a whole, man versus machine type thing. I want to beat the robot, but that's not the way they were going. The company behind this is called Omron, and they're an industrial automation type company. So this is the kind of thing that they do on a daily basis. They just decided for the hell of it to do this at CES. This will probably never get sold. It's probably, you're never going to see it in stores or anything like that, but it is kind of cool and worth checking out. So, that's my pick that you can't buy. Pat?
Well, for me, I would say KOF Destiny has been announced as being renewed for two more seasons, but not by iDragons. SNK is bringing a new studio on board, and the two seasons will take us through the remainder of the Orochi saga. So that'll be good to see. It's it's had its critics so far, but I think it's a pretty good retelling of Fatal Fury and the early KOFs. So I'm pretty excited to see them take the adaptation further and go through those first several years of King of Fighters. This we've needed a proper KOF TV series for a long time, and this is it.
All right. Brandon, what you got for us?
All right. Well, so I'm guessing all of us have at one time or another played Earthbound, right?
Oh, yeah.
Never finished it.
Yeah. So Earthbound, of course, is unique in that it was essentially a RPG that was created by an outsider from the video game world. It was basically written and designed by a guy named Shigesato Itoi. Shigesato Itoi is a primarily known in Japan as kind of a jack of all trades who got his start working as a copywriter and an essayist for various advertisement agencies and popular magazines. And he actually credits video games for helping him get over a massive illness he got due to a serious case of asthma. And there's a series of webcomics that are done by these people in Japan where they do interviews with various legendary gaming individuals. And they just so recently did one with none other than Mr. Itoi himself. And the comic itself tells the story of sort of how the game's development came about. It was literally he had played a Dragon Quest II and really liked it, but he wondered why it was that an RPG had to have like knights and dragons and stuff, and he had this idea of making a RPG that would be sort of like the plot of a Steven Spielberg movie, like circa early 80s. So like, E.T. or something, Close Encounters, something like that.
Yeah.
And basically it tells the story of how they got this whole trilogy put together. And it was a lot of work and a lot of him having to sort of work around the sort of bureaucracy that Nintendo kind of is. In fact, when he first introduced the idea to Shigeru Miyamoto, he kind of thought at first that Miyamoto had kind of blown him off. In fact, that wasn't the case, as it finds out. No, Miyamoto actually really liked the idea. And yes, of course, the late, great Iwata shows up as well, being as he's the guy who basically comes in and helps rebuild Earthbound from the ground up. So, and there's even this nice little story towards the end where he's talking to an American woman who works at the, I think at the embassy in Japan. And she mentions how Earthbound is one of the reasons she wanted to learn Japanese and actually got into the field she's in now. So it's actually really nice, very touching little story. I recommend it to anyone to read it.
All right. Okay, Chris, what do you got for us?
Okay, so there are a bunch of sales on the Nintendo eShop for the mainly the Switch and the 3DS. They have the Nindies New Year sale on the 3DS or the Switch, which is a handful of indie stuff that's on there. Things like Goner, which I picked up the other day as part of this sale. Thumper. What else is here? Severed is on there. So if you haven't played that yet, that's a good game to get. Thimbleweed Park, Graceful Explosion Machine, that's also pretty good. Some decent stuff there. Indie Create sale, they put a bunch of their stuff on sale. That's ending, I guess that ended probably today. On the 14th, so it might still be active. I think it's still active. It's like Blaster Master Zero. The Azure Striker Gunvolt games, as well as the Mighty Gunvolt stuff. That's all on sale on the 3DS and the Switch. And the big sale is Nintendo put a ton of 3DS games on sale. A lot of retail stuff. So there's like the Professor Layton games, Miracle Mile, Azurin Legacy, as well as the Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright game. Those are all on sale. Cooking Mama, there's RPG Maker Fest, Dragon Quest VIII, Bravely Second End Layer, Yo-Kai Watch, Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World, which I probably wouldn't buy that because I'm going to guess that's going to come to the Switch at some point.
Yeah.
Same with Super Mario Maker. Both of the Fire Emblem Fates games, the main ones, are on sale. As well as some of the digital stuff here. Picross E7's on sale. It's the first of those games to go on sale since they started putting those out like 4 years ago. And so that's a good one to jump into if somehow $6 for a Picross game was too much for you. Link's Awakening is on there. You can get the original Yoshi for some reason if you want to play that. Super Castlevania 4 is on there. Severed's also on sale there, which that's cross-buy with the Wii U version, so you can get one there, get the other one for free. So that's good. Also, Hatsune Miku Project Mirai DX is half off, $20. Some good stuff here. Also, Pocket Card Jockey, the weird game that the Pokemon team made. That is about horse racing, but you play solitaire to make that go.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a pretty cool game.
So a lot of good sales on the Nintendo front right now, which is kind of rare. They don't really do sales all that often. So
yeah, it's the first sale on like Nintendo stuff since maybe October.
Yeah, so nice to see them getting with the programs.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, I think the only Switch retail game they've made that's been on sale on the eShop is 1-2 Switch.
That's because nobody wants it. Anyways.
Please pay attention to our game.
Yeah. So Dan Rib, do you have anything for us this week you want to highlight?
Not really, but I'll go ahead and talk about something I bought that I'm expecting soon. Best Buy is selling the Hitman Complete First Season Steelbook Edition for $20. So if you have GCU, it's $16. So it was some people's game of the year last year, so I guess it should be good. Chris likes it.
Yeah. Wait, which game was that?
Hitman, the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, that's real good. Very weird. Enjoy the weirdness.
it's very weird. Alrighty. So I guess with that, we're going to end the program for this week. As always, you can check us out at smashpad.com. We have lots of content that you can read and listen to, including this show and Let's Weekend and a bunch of reviews and other stuff that's going on. You can subscribe to the show on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, or your favorite RSS or podcast aggregator. So yeah, and you should, because it's great. So with that, I am Filippo D'Adolfo.
I am Patrick Mifflin.
I am Brian Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Red Victoria.
And we'll see you all next week.